of
crackpots.
Preparing hot food. That we'll get to in a moment. Crackpots is dessert. Okay, we'll learn the laws of preparing hot food on Shabbos.
That's a secret you can give, Mayor.
The laws, and by the way,
don't use me as a bracha for your kids.
By the way,
paying by commission.
By the way, everyone remember, this Friday is a tinus.
Right.
Friday is a Sarbateves, Erev Shabbos. So Mitzvah tomorrow will help you learn about the unique halachas of a tinus that falls on a Friday. And it's also Vachnach. It's also a nittel, what I say. It's nittel. Nittel, what? Yes, Mitzvah will have a show on Friday. Yes, Mitzvah. We'll have a show on Friday, but tomorrow, there are two things about Friday.
I'm giving a big kiddush on Friday. If anyone shows up to the shir can have kiddush.
Nittel. It's nittel. It's Friday. Tomorrow night, Mishmar.
Eggnog. What's the problem?
What?
Cheapskate.
I'm giving eggnog.
Okay, so we have to keep that in mind for Friday. In any event, let's discuss the laws over here of making hot food on Shabbos. So we all know that it is an iser de'oraisa to kindle a fire. Havara. And we know it's an Isser de'oraisa to cook or bake on Shabbos. A separate av malach. In the Beis HaMikdash, they made the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim was necessary for the baking of the breads was done in preparation for Shabbos. So that's a malach de'oraisa. And cooking was done for the ingredients that were used to prepare the dyes for the various materials that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. So cooking, baking, and kindling a fire are melachos d'oraisa. This may not be done on Shabbos, and there's nothing to discuss. However, min haTorah, if you put up a pot of food, a chalent, or a soup, or put chicken, meat, anything in the oven, or on a fire, on the range, or bake bread, put bread in the oven, Erev Shabbos, even 1 minute before Shabbos begins, and there is fire in the oven, there is fuel, and it is baking and cooking over on Shabbos, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing in the Torah. According to the Torah law, the prohibition to cook, to bake, is only on Shabbos itself. But if you put into motion, if you begin the process before Shabbos begins, even though the cooking, the baking will be taking place on Shabbos itself, that is permitted according to the Torah. Because the Torah says, Loisasu kol melocha biyoim ha-Shabbos. The act of melocha may not be done on Shabbos, but it can be done Erev Shabbos. However, Chazal came along and they enacted many, many stringencies in this matter of cooking and preparing food on Shabbos itself. And that is, we do not let you put food, it's not permitted to start the process of cooking food before Shabbos begins and have it continue into Shabbos, because there's a real concern that you'll come home from shul Friday night or whatever, even if you don't go to shul, you look at the food and you'll see, it's not yet ready. And I'm hungry and I want to eat it now. We live in the microwave generation. We want it hot. And we want it now. So I'm not going to wait until 11 o'clock for it to get ready. I'm not going to wait until this. I want it now. I'm just going to turn up the range, turn up the heat. Okay? Add more fuel to the fire. This was a very legitimate concern. And if a person were to add more fuel into the fire, he is in violation of two melachos. Number one, havara. By adding fuel into the fire on Shabbos, that's melacha d'oraisa of the issue of fire is not just to strike a match. It's also even to increase the fire on Shabbos. And number two, by accelerating the bishul process, that's also melacha d'oraisa of bishul. So because a person is hungry, and a person is thinks about food all the time, we don't realize, we have no clue how much we think about food all the time. We think that, it's just a second. When you don't eat for a day, your mind is only about food. Okay? We don't even realize how deep our machshav, our thoughts, are focused on food. Chazal were very well aware of how connected the average person is to food. And if his food's not going to be ready for him on time, there is a real possibility he will accelerate the process on Shabbos and be in violation of Melochis De'oraisa. So in order to prevent that from happening, Chazal made a whole series of takanas that this should not happen. Thank you very much. Thank you. So the takana is, most people cannot have ready-made food that's ready-made for the Shabbos, and just sitting and waiting. Many people, they have to prepare the food before Shabbos, and it cooks into Shabbos. So there are three things that you can do. Well, the main thing that we do is what's called blech. What do we mean by a blech? I don't even know what a blech means. Anyone know what a blech means in English, where that word comes from? I'm not even sure I know what that is.
Piece of metal.
It means a piece of metal?
Okay, that. Yeah, thin piece of metal.
Then in time of Chazal, they made this takana. The takana is called kituma. In those days, there was no such thing as gas ranges, and obviously in modern appliances, hot plates and crack pots, they had an open fire. There was an open fire of some sort, whether it's an oven, whether it's you're cooking a pot on a kira. And Chazal said, you know what? If you want to put up the food before Shabbos and let it cook on Shabbos, fine. Just make for yourself a siman, a reminder not to stoke the coals. How do you do that? Put ashes on the coals. Ketumah. Ketumah means the makor is ketem, means an ash. And put some ashes on the coals. Now here is the very big, it's all Chazal said. Long come all the Rishonim. And there's a very big debate what Chazal had in mind. What exactly did they mean? And there are two different approaches to why is Ketumah a solution to allow us to cook food on Shabbos, to allow the food to remain cooking on Shabbos. And the two approaches are very different and result in major, major nafkaminas across the board in every dimension of in food preparation for Shabbos. Reason number one, the simple reason why ketumah was a technique Chazal used to allow you to cook your food on Shabbos, to allow the food to remain cooking, is ketumah diminishes the intensity of the fire. By taking ash and sprinkling ash ashes on the fire, the fire is diminished. It doesn't have the same potency, it doesn't have the same heat. So when you come now to, you look at your cholent, you look at your soup, your chicken, your meat, and you see, you know, it's taking too long. Let's speed up the process. So your natural inclination, you take a stick and you start to, you know, to shake up, to increase, and you look at the fire and it's full of these ashes. The fire is destroyed. And you realize, no matter what I do, by me stirring the coals, it's not gonna make a difference because I've damaged my fire, my fireplace, to such a degree by sprinkling ash, there's not much I can do by shaking it up and moving things. You've diminished the heat. That's reason number one. Other Rishonim disagree. That's not what Ketumah is all about. You know, the truth is, if you really take a stick and you start maneuvering it, you have some skill, you go to a special school, they teach you how to be an arsonist. You learn how to take a dead fire and burn down a building. Okay, you'll figure out. That's not the reason. Don't tell me it's because you've diminished the heating element. It's a reminder. It's a polite reminder. As you're about to go and stoke the coals, you look down and you see ash. What's this? How did all this get? Oh, it's Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to do this. Interesting is what Chazal had in mind. Will a person be willing to do this b'mezid? And now that they see you, b'mezid we're not worried about, b'sheg we are, so it's a reminder. Or maybe we want you to diminish the heat. We're concerned about it. People who will be mezidim. It's not going to make a difference. The fire has been diminished. So again, these are the two yesodos. What, again, we have a prohibition. Let's start from the beginning very quickly. it is forbidden min haTorah to cook on Shabbos. Even adding more fuel to an existing fire is a melacha de'oraisa of havara, of making a fire, and is a melacha de'oraisa of cooking. Accelerating the cooking process is a melacha de'oraisa of cooking as well, and baking. So Chazal did not trust us to start the process before Shabbos and let the process continue into Shabbos. There's a grave concern that we may on Shabbos be disappointed that it's not ready and accelerate the cooking or baking process by stoking the coals. So they said, so too bad for you. If your food's not ready, then too little, too late, you can't do it. You won't have what to eat, too bad for you. We don't trust you. But we'll have a solution. The solution is that before Shabbos begins, put on the fire ashes. And that's called kituma. What's the purpose of doing that? How does that solve the problem? So there are two answers, two very different approaches. Approach number one, by putting ash on the fire, you diminish the intensity of the fire to the degree where you acknowledge that stoking the coals will not make a difference. So you will desist because it's not going to make a difference. The heat has been diminished. There's no potential. If you don't put ash on the fire, there's potential to accelerate the process. By putting ash, the heating element of the fire, of your wood, your source of fire, has been damaged, and there's no longer potential to accelerate the process. The second approach is, no, if you know what you're doing, you can accelerate the process, is all you want. The problem, the goal is, it's just a reminder, it's a polite reminder. You're about to do it, you look down, oh, this ash, I see that's forbidden, it's a reminder and you're going to hold back. Now, today we don't have open fires with wood. We have gas ranges, we have electric stoves, or we have crock pots, or we have hot plates. Everything pretty much falls in that category. You'll have a range with a gas open flame, an electric oven, where it gets burning hot, or you'll have a hot plate, which is basically an electric oven, or you'll have a crock pot, which is also pretty much an electric oven. So what do we do? What do we do in order to be permitted to start the process before Shabbos and allow it to continue on Shabbos? There should be the same concern. Because if you come and you take a look at your food and it's not ready, it's so easy. You just turn the knob. You turn the knob up. Or if you have an electric oven, you just move the controls. So what we have the same exact problem. And we don't have a solution today that Chazal gave us to take ash and throw the ash on the surface of the electric oven. It's not going to work. It doesn't work like that. There's no such thing as throwing ash on your range, on the gas range. It doesn't work like that. It's not a solution. So what do you do? So here's the difference. If you hold that the ikur, the primary solution, is to diminish the intensity of the heat, blech. Because by putting a piece of metal on top of the fire is not the same. Everyone knows, anyone who's involved in cooking knows that. Ein doime, cooking on an open flame versus cooking on a blech. It doesn't go. The blech, it causes the heat to spread. To dissipate. And if you put it up too high, it's also no good. It's not an even fire. You're very limited. When you take a blech and you spread it out, it changes the dynamics of cooking. It definitely, a plate of metal definitely causes the heat to dissipate. Now that's very true when it comes to an open flame, a range. A range with an open flame. It's not as true when it comes to like an electric oven. We have just a glass top and it gets very, very hot because putting a blech on that, it doesn't... Anyway, the heat is a different type of heat with an electric oven and certainly a hot plate and a crock pot. But let's work with this for the moment. The primary goal of a blech is to cause the heat to dissipate. If that's the case, do you need to cover the controls? Absolutely not. There is no need for you to cover the controls, the knobs. If the purpose, Chazal said we do ketumah, is to diminish the intensity of the fire, and that will prevent you from raising the fire, the goal is to diminish the intensity of the fire. You don't need to cover the controls, the knobs of an electric plate, of an electric, of an oven, or of a range, or a gas range, or of all the different types of devices, a crock pot. You don't need to control. You need to diminish the heat. Now, here's the problem. On an open fire, you can do that. By putting blech, it does that. That is accepted. But today we have all of these new inventions. Let's talk for a moment about a crock pot. A crock pot, you have the heating element. A crock pot works by basically have a pot, a regular pot, and you put the pot in a heater, in a tightly fit enclosure, which there are many different types of crock pots in the market. Most of them pretty much cover the entire pot. So you have a pot, and the pot is inserted fully into an enclosure, and the enclosure has coils, has different, there are different techniques which make it very, very hot, and that heat is applied to the pot itself. How do you diminish? How do you diminish that heat? So what are you going to say? Aluminum foil. Aluminum foil will be my blech. Because just like putting a blech on an open fire certainly diminishes the heat, so the aluminum foil diminishes the heat. Problem is, it doesn't really make a difference. When it comes to an open fire, putting a blech diminishes the intensity of the heat. On a crock pot, putting a piece of aluminum foil doesn't do anything. It might even make it better. It might even distribute the heat even more efficiently than. So what are you accomplishing? So this indeed is a very big problem. What is the solution? So the solution is, there are different solutions. Some solutions is that you should have aluminum foil, but the aluminum foil should come out on top. So in other words, you have your crock pot. You line the inside of the heating element with aluminum foil, but the aluminum foil should continue to extend out on the outside on an angle. What is the advantage? It's going to diminish the heat, because since it's aluminum and it conducts heat, the heat is going to be spread through that aluminum foil outside of the pot into thin air, into air. You're going to be wasting electricity. You're going to be polluting the environment for no reason. That will serve the same function as what adding ash to an open fire did in the time of Chazal. Add ash, the goal is diminish the intensity of the heat in order to prevent you from adjusting the heat, because once the intensity has been damaged, the fire has been damaged, there's no purpose in trying to turn it up. It's not going to work. Once it's damaged, it's damaged. You're lucky if you'll just get through the day, right? If the car doesn't work, you know, putting the pedal to the metal is not gonna, it's not gonna get you anywhere anyway. Once there's damage, that itself is gonna prevent you from doing a malacha deraisa. So on an open fire, add ash. On a real time of Chazal, ash. Today on a gas range, a plate of metal. That definitely damages the intensity of the fire. On a crock pot, you got a problem, because aluminum foil is not gonna do very much. Because anyway, the heating element is spread out through the entire enclosure. And just putting some aluminum foil doesn't make a difference. It's going to be exactly the same thing. But if the aluminum foil will extend out from the top on all sides, the heat that is being produced by the heating element is leaving. It's not energy efficient. There's waste. It's going out to the side.
It's also a side benefit. If you put aluminum over and you bend it, it covers the controls.
Right. Well, we're not up to the controls yet. Right now, we're not even working with that. Right now, we're working with damaging the heating element. So that is one solution. Another solution is, okay, this sounds a little primitive, but a lot of people do this, is you don't have to, people use a tuna fish can. It sounds a little strange. You take a tuna fish can and you put it on the very bottom of the enclosure, and then you put your pot. So your pot is not resting directly on, it's not snug in the enclosure. Now, it doesn't work with every model. There are a lot of different types of crock pots. Some of them won't even turn on, won't even work unless the sensor detects that, it's resting in its correct location. Everything has to be kedasu chedin. But if some of the models it does, it doesn't make a difference. It all depends. Every situation is different, every model. But this was very, very popular that it's mentioned every single sefer from time immemorial. I don't know if it still works with all the new models, all the new crock pots. But they advise you to take a tuna fish, of course, empty out the tuna fish. No, to clean out, eat the tuna fish first. And you have an empty tuna fish can, and you put the tuna fish can on the bottom of the enclosure, and then you put the pot in the enclosure. And by doing so, you are diminishing the intensity of the heat. Because it's not snug. It's like a blech. A blech is a hefsek. It's a separation between the fire and the pot. You have a separation. And the separation here is a tuna fish can. It separates from the heating element and the pot. And this separation definitely diminishes the intensity of the heat of the heating element of the crock pot. That, in essence, is your blech.
Can I tell you what I do in my house?
Yes.
We just take a piece of aluminum foil, make like a little ball out of it.
Right. So you don't have to have another tuna fish can. So then you take a thick piece. You just take some aluminum foil. You make like a ball of aluminum foil to make a hefsek, to raise it slightly. So I'll give you the example of a tuna fish can because that's a hard piece of metal. But if you don't have a tuna fish can, you just take some aluminum foil. You make a ball, and that way the pot is not resting directly on the heating element. You have damaged the intensity of its heat, and that's the goal of ketuma. So you have achieved the result. Now let's
you
talk.
Do the same thing over a fire.
Over a fire.
If you have a fire and you put a tuna fish and you put your pot on the tuna fish.
That's a blech. Yeah. What else is a blech? That is a blech.
But it doesn't have to cover the whole fire then.
Oh, so yes, a very good question. To what degree? You're right. Technically, it does not have to cover
because
the entire
then
fire.
The grates you have on your gas ranch should be like.
So here's the issue. You're saying something very good. You're saying that first of all, in the time of Chazal, they had grates also. Okay, when you put your pot down on the fire in the ancient ovens, okay, you don't put the pot on the fire. It's not going to burn. They also had grates. The aside is, what is the normal way? You're saying, making a good point. What is the degree you need to make a change to damage the fire? And the rule is, this is what it says here over and over in the Sefer. What is the normal way you cook with this device? What is the standard? How does the world do? In the ganze Welt, you have a gas range, there are grates.
Right.
You put the pot on the grates. Oh, so you're going to tell me, oh, look, the grates are mafsik between the fire and the pot. This is the normal way you do it. This is prohibited. Because if you're going to do it like this, there's a concern that when Shabbos comes, your food is not going to be ready when you want it. You're going to accelerate the process by turning up the range, turning up the fire. So you have to make a change. We're now working with the principle. The change we're going to do is we're going to damage the heating element. So you have to determine what is called a significant damage. How much of the fire has to be covered for it to be called a kosher blech, a kosher damage? Not necessarily the entire fire. You're right. You don't have to cover chazonish sheer blech. You don't have to dissipate the entire thing. As long as part of the fire it's covered to a degree where you can honestly say, this is not the way you cook. This is not the way you ordinarily cook. And I'm thrown off. It throws me off how I'm going to cook the food. You know, I have a chef. Today, all these reality shows, right? All these chef shows. A real chef knows how the food reacts to fire. You know there's a relationship between that fire and your pot. You have a certain type of pot, a copper pot, and this pot and that pot, and this technology. You know exactly how the relationship goes between the fire, the pot, and the food. Once you start putting a blech, you put a hefsek, a separation between the fire and your food, you're thrown off. You're now in a state of confusion. You don't have a feel for the dynamics, the relationship of how this is going to work. I don't know. Like, you know, you drive a car. So if you get a new car, it takes time to adjust. How does your car react to the road? Every automobile has a different relationship with the road. If you drive a bus, it's very different. You drive a truck, it's very different. I used to be fascinated to watch a bus driver, okay, the buses. It's fascinating. I haven't gotten a bus in a long time, Baruch Hashem. But the city buses, it's amazing to
Can
watch.
Can everyone please mute? Keeps coming out.
Okay, when you drive a bus, a city bus, if you ever go on a city bus, watch the driver. He presses the pedal to the metal. And there's no gears on the city buses. And the whole mechanism of how the bus accelerates and it stops is totally different. Because we just lost everyone here. Connecting. We went out. Everyone can still hear me? Hello? Abayisa, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we lost you. Okay. So every object has a unique relationship with its environment. When you put a blech on the fire, you're changing that relationship. It's disturbing, and that's the goal. That is because that disturbance, that change in relationship is what's going to permit you to have your food remain cooking on Shabbos without there being a concern you're going to make an adjustment. Because you don't know what kind of adjustment to make. So how much of the fire do you have to cover? You have to cover enough of the fire that you can honestly say, I don't know what the relationship is. I'm getting messages over here that my internet is not stable. Maybe that's the problem. All right, so let me go switch over to my mobile hotspot. Maybe that'll make a difference, okay? I'm switching over now. Give me one moment. The shul's internet does not work very well. It's very unreliable. A very unreliable internet here, so we have to switch to a different setting. Okay, I'll kick it in one moment here. Network. All right, I'm switching over now. All right, I just switched off. Hopefully now it'll be more stable. Okay, so this is the issue. That's what you do with the crock pot. You have to just damage the heat in a regular range. You put a blech in a crock pot. You raise it. You have a choice. Either you can raise it by putting a can of tuna fish inside to raise the pot from the heating element enclosure, or if you don't have a tuna fish can, you can take a piece of aluminum foil, make two balls or one ball, and that raises the pot from the enclosure. So now the heating element is not the same. It's not this, and that is permitted. Now, what about an electric what's it called? An electric board.
Hot plate.
So what do you do about a hot plate? How do you cook, put food on a hot plate before Shabbos and allow the hot plate to remain in operation over Shabbos? How does that work? So basically, you need a blech. Now the problem is a blech doesn't really do anything because let's take a step back. Some will argue, and people are lenient, that a hot plate does not need a blech. It does not need, because the heating element is hidden inside, the coils are hidden inside. Even a hot plate.
But you said the normal way.
Exactly. That's why most places can reject that. They hold you must have some type of blech for a hot plate, because since that's the normal way, even though you don't actually see the coils, and you're using a material which gets very, very hot, which are heated by the coil, and you don't actually see the coils, that's not called a blech. Don't say, some will argue that a hot plate is mutter because a hot plate by definition is a blech. Because there are coils underneath. Every hot plate, you don't see the coils. At least maybe the old, very cheap models. Not today anymore. But every hot plate today on the market, you don't see the coils. The coils are completely hidden from view. There's a material that goes on top of the coils, or that's lined some high-tech technology where this material gets heated by the coils. So when you put the pot on the hot plate, it's already a secondary source. So why don't we go say, oh, that is the blech. That's the blech. It's not the original source. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you very much. That is the blech. You don't say that. The reason why we don't say that is because that's the normal way you heat food with this device. So we consider that to be the fire itself. That would mean in order for us to be permitted to allow the food remaining on this object from before Shabbos, we would have to damage the normal heat process of the hot plate. How do you damage the normal heat process of the hot plate? To take aluminum foil and spread it over the entire hot plate, guess what doesn't make a difference? People who use hot plates will tell you that taking aluminum foil and putting a piece of aluminum foil on your hot plate doesn't make one bit of a difference. Whatever the hot plate does, when you put a pot on it, it'll do exactly the same thing if you put a piece of aluminum foil and put your pot on it. It's not going to make a difference. So how is that going to damage the heating element of the hot plate? So it's not so simple. So what are some of the solutions? The only solution really is, so some say, is if you use a very thick piece of aluminum foil. A thin piece of aluminum foil is really nothing. If you have very, very thick, and let's say you actually you can bundle it up, double it over, triple it over, that would make a difference. Or you have thick aluminum foil, and you do what we said before, you have it come to the end and have it raised up, to bend up. So if you spread it out, the aluminum foil, more than the surface area of the actual hot plate, you're causing the heat to dissipate. You're spreading out the heat. It's not efficient anymore. You're damaging the way, the efficiency of how the heat is being applied to the pot, because you've taken aluminum foil and you've spread it out over a larger area and you've had it incline up, and that's some of the heat is going away. That, in essence, is you have damaged the hot plate. I want to warn you with 100 asharos to be extremely careful when you do something like this. Because some hot plates, if you put aluminum foil on them, you can make a fire. And it can be very damaging. So you really got to know what you're doing. Okay, cooking food on Shabbos is a dangerous game, and no matter how you look at it. Okay? It's not something you just take for granted. It requires supervision, and you have to know the types of equipment that you're using, and to make sure safety first. That's a given. So when talking about using aluminum foil on a hot plate, again, you have to have 100 asharos. You have to be warned way in advance. Better verify from people that do this that it's 100% safe. If it's not safe, don't pashka with this. This is pikuach nefesh. After you know,
Rabbi.
Yeah.
But our meat is set to the temperature which the food will never cook. It just will keep it warm.
No.
By itself has a settings.
Some of the better...
the issue of cooking is... you will avoid the issue of cooking.
Some of the hot plates are get very, very hot, and there are people that definitely prepare an uncooked cholent on a hot plate. There's no question about it. There are hot plates... That you put an uncooked cholent on the hot plate before Shabbos begins, and it stays the whole night on the hot plate, and it cooks. There's no question. Now, not every model can do that. You're right. There are all different types of models of hot plates. Some of them are very weak. They can do such a thing like that. But there are those that can. The ones that can, there's a shaila of bishul, and this is the normal way you do it. So how are you permitted to do this? So the solution is, you have to have some type of blech. A blech on a hot plate is not so simple because it can damage the hot plate and it can make a fire. So you have to know if it's even capable of using a blech, putting a blech or some technique of aluminum foil. And once you do know that it's safe, if you can make that determination, you have the next question. The blech that you're putting on the hot plate, does it really make a difference anyway? Because a hot plate is not an open fire anyway. To begin with, the hot plate is a different technique. Adding a little thin piece of aluminum foil on the hot plate is not going to make one bit of a difference in the relationship that the pot has with the heating element. So that's not called ketuma. The goal of ketuma in this first approach is to diminish the intensity of the heat, of the way it's normally done. Putting a thin piece of aluminum foil on an average hot plate is not going to make one bit of a difference. So that cannot be considered called ketuma. So what then is ketuma? So it depends. There are different techniques. Some hold that if you have like a very thick piece of aluminum foil, that already makes a difference. So if you take you double it over 2, 3, 4 times, you make it very, very thick, that already, the heat is not the same. The heat already dissipates in a different way. If you take some aluminum foil and you bend it in a certain way, extend it, it causes the heat to go off onto the sides. That also dissipates the heat. The goal is to do something to diminish the intensity of the heat that's coming out of this device. That is called ketuma. To do so in a safe way. It should be 100% safe, but the goal should be to diminish the intensity of the heat that is ordinarily applied to the food with this, the way this device was meant to work. Yes, what were you saying?
How about an inverted cookie sheet? It's a long sheet.
Yeah.
A little higher.
Like a blend.
Yes, that's fine. Yes, that's
a
that.
A cookie sheet. It's
okay, there are different types.
You don't have to patch around.
So there, you have to. Yes, the answer is yes. The answer is as long as you can say that it has diminished. Mm-hmm. It has diminished the intensity of the heat, then it's perfectly fine. So let's review. Let's review so far.
In the blech, you can't move the pot.
We're not. Rav David over here, he just came. We're not discussing that topic. We're discussing a different topic. Maybe we'll get to that soon. Okay.
Move it.
I know we'll get to that soon. Right now we're not up to that yet. We're first discussing cooking for the very first time. Let's review. So far, to clarify these points. Shabbos, you're not allowed to allow a food that has never been cooked before to continue cooking on Shabbos, Friday night. You're not allowed to do this out of a concern that you may come to accelerate the process by turning up the heat or doing something to the pot. In the time of Chazal, the solution was ketuma, to add ashes to the open fire. What's the lumdus? What's the purpose? What's the goal? What do you achieve? You achieve, according to the first approach that we've only mentioned so far, is to diminish the intensity of the fire. By diminishing the intensity, that changes the entire process. You're no longer inclined to raise the fire because it's not going to make much of a difference because the fire is not the way it's meant to be anyway. How does that translate into a modern-day appliance? With a gas range and an open fire, you cover the fire with a piece of metal. That diminishes the intensity of the fire. It caused the fire to spread over an entire piece of metal. It's no longer the same intensity. It changes your mindset as far as how it's going to cook, and you're good to go. When you're dealing with a crock pot, which is enclosed in an which is contained in an enclosure, the solution is either aluminum foil which goes above the pot, which will cause the heat to dissipate out on the top. It's not going to be efficient, so you're damaging the heating element, or to raise the pot. And by the way, raising the pot, by the way, there's another reason why we raise the pot and do this, and that's hatmana. A crock pot has another issue called hatmana if it's completely enclosed. Let's discuss that now. There's a prohibition. You're not allowed to completely cover a pot of hot food that is on an open flame. If you have a pot of food that is on an open flame or on not only an open flame, that is being heated in any way whatsoever, it is forbidden on Shabbos to enclose it, to wrap it in insulation. Anything that's not the natural part of the pot, any insulation is forbidden. A crock pot has the issue, being that most crock pots are enclosed, nice and snug, by the heating element on three sides, on the bottom, and really and all in the circumference of the pot. It's only open on the top. According to many opinions, this is a violation of hatmana. On Shabbos, it is forbidden. Again, if you have food, and the food is being heated, even in a permissible way, if the food is being heated, it's forbidden to enclose it in a wrapper, in an enclosure, even before Shabbos. You're not allowed, because the concern is that you'll put it back. Okay, that's part of the prohibition. And you're not allowed to enclose a pot of food in a wrapper that's not natural to the pot if the pot is being heated on Shabbos. A crock pot has exactly that issue, because the crock pot is a pot that's put into an enclosure, and that enclosure is heating it, is giving it heat, but not only is it giving it heat, it's also enclosing it. So that serves as a form of hatmana. What's the solution? Well, some poskim are very lenient, and they say that since it's not covered on top, it's okay. It's not covered on top. Some poskim will say this is not called hatmana because this is its natural setting. Hatmana is only forbidden when you add something new that does not belong there. This, the way the crock pot is made to operate, you have a pot inside of an enclosure. That's its natural habitat. That's not called hatmana. And hatmana, Tam Chazal, is you have a pot and you put the pot upon some type of heating element and then you wrap it in something that doesn't belong there, in a shmata, in a towel. That's hatmana. But the pot itself, you can cover the pot. You have a pot, and you have a cover. Why don't we say every cover of a pot is hatmana? That's not hatmana, because the cover of the pot is where it belongs. Every pot has a cover. You never heard that expression? Every pot has a cover. That's where it belongs. The cover belongs on the pot. Hatmana is only forbidden when you add something that does not belong there. Whoever told you to take a beach towel and wrap up your pot in a beach towel? That's ridiculous. That's hatmana. A crock pot is a pot, but it belongs in its environment. That's the way it's made. That's the function. So some will tell you that's not a violation of hatmana. And again, others will tell you hatmana is only when you cover it from all sides, six sides, four sides, top and the bottom. A crock pot, you're not covering from the top. So one side is open. That's not hatmana. But many poskim are not happy with all of these answers. And that is why they advise us to use the tuna fish can solution or the aluminum ball solution to raise the pot from the enclosure, because that way that is not a violation of hatmana. Hatmana is only when it's snug, is when the beach towel is fully in contact with the pot. When something is draped like an urn and you drape something on the top of the urn, that is not a violation of hatmana when it's not snug in place, but there is a gap. putting a tuna fish can between the heating element of the enclosure of the crock pot and the crock pot accomplishes two things. Number one, you take away the problem of hatmana, because it's no longer in contact with the bottom. It's no longer snug. It's considered to be draped. And number two, you have diminished the intensity of the heat coming from the heating element of the crock pot, which is equivalent to hatmana of putting ash on the coals on the open fire. Once you've diminished the intensity of the heat the way it was meant to be, it changes your mindset. You're not going to be inclined to adjust knobs and settings to make the product be ready earlier than it was meant to be. So using the tuna fish can or taking aluminum balls and raising the pot from its enclosure solves two problems. Now, some people, you should know, don't hold it to be a problem at all. There are many people that don't even ask a shayla, they just use a crock pot. They hold it's not called hatsumana because the top is open, and they hold that there's no need for there to be a blech because the coils are not it's not an open fire. Basically, they hold that if it's not an open fire, then that's not you don't need to come on to ketuma. Ketuma only needs to be done, according to some lenient opinions, is when you have an open fire. Or when at least the metal, the coals are exposed. The coals are exposed. The metal, the coils are exposed. The hot plates today, the coils are not exposed. They're buried somewhere deep within some type of high-tech material which gets hot from the coils, from whatever is heating them up. And the same thing is true when it comes to a crock pot. The part that gets hot, you don't see. It makes the enclosure very hot. Each crock pot is different types of crock pots, but generally the part that gets very, very hot is not exposed. The part that gets very, very hot makes something else get very hot, which in turn makes your pot get hot. And thus, it's already a built-in blech. That's a leniency. That's a very big leniency. Because many hold, if this is the way it's meant to operate, that becomes the primary source of fire. And upon that, you need to add an additional layer to diminish its heating. So the solution is, with the crock pot, to raise it, as we mentioned, you avoid the hatmona issue. It's no longer nice and snug. You avoid the problem of cooking over an open fire, because you have a blech. What's the blech? The heat has been diminished because it's not snug. If it's not snug, there's waste. There is heat that is escaping that's not being applied efficiently to the pot to make it good. It's so interesting how on Shabbos, we live in a world today, this is really mind-boggling. We're backwards people in a good way. We live in a world today where everything is about efficiency, optimization, fuel-efficient cars, and how to optimize every little thing in your life in every dimension. And when it comes to Shabbos, the only way you can enjoy a good challah is if you go backwards against the entire technology of this generation, to go backwards and to damage the efficiency, to damage the optimization, and bring waste, carbon emissions into this world that were never meant to be. That's the only way Chazal allowed us to enjoy the Shabbos. Isn't that amazing? It really is. It's an amazing. Shabbos has never been so pronounced as our generation. I know myself. What a Shabbos. I'm unfortunately, I need professional help. I'm addicted to my phone, like everyone else I know. Totally addicted. Every other second you check. What am I checking for? Who cares? What am I checking for? You check, you look. You don't want to miss out on something. Shabbos? There's no smartphone. It's unbelievable. The difference between Kodesh L'chol is so amazing. And in this generation where we live in such a world of demand, of efficiency, optimization, and when it comes to Shabbos, you have to cook. Chazal said, you want to go put uncooked food on a fire? Are you out of your mind? You're going to go put uncooked food on the fire? You're going to turn up the heat in order that the food should be ready right now? So you have to go take ash and damage the fire. So in the time of Chazal, who cares about the environment? Right? Whoever heard of global warming? Whoever heard about all of these things? Gesundheit! You put the ash on the fire. You diminish. It's not fuel efficient. It's not energy efficient. Today, oh! That's the whole purpose of the new appliance. Everything should be mamish. Don't waste one drop of water by a washing machine, a dryer, a dishwasher. Everything, the goal is fuel efficiency. And here, when it comes to Shabbos, to have the food, you got to go out of your way to make it that it's not efficient, that it's not going to work, so that you gave up on it. It's hopeless. My shalant is going to suffer from the curse of global warming anyway. So let all the icebergs melt. Who cares about this? That's really what it's all about. It's an amazing approach. How you prepare your cholin for Shabbos. Okay, now, so now let's discuss one other quick thing right before we run out of time, and that is what happens. Let's talk about you have your cholin. Now, there's another reason why. Now, all of this that we are describing is all in a situation where the food is not yet cooked. Once the food is fully cooked, it has achieved shlemus, then all of these rules don't apply. Me'ikar hadin, according to the letter, I left out one very important thing. I have to go back. We spoke about kituma. We mentioned the goal is to damage the intensity of the heat. However, I did mention to you a second approach. The reason why we have kituma is to serve as just a reminder. It's not the intent of Chazal was not to damage the heat. The intent of Chazal was to serve as a polite reminder, today is Shabbos. If that's the case, in all of the modern day appliances, including your range, there's no need to have a blech on the fire. The only thing you need to do is cover the knobs. You can put your food, your pot, on an open fire. Let it cook the whole Shabbos, gesundheit. Just have, if you want to increase the fire, what do? You turn the knobs. So take off the knobs, or cover the knobs, or have do something to prevent you from covering the knobs. That's what counts. And you have a crock pot, cover the knobs. You have a hot plate, cover the knobs. That is what counts. However, most poskim hold this is not the ikur tam. The ikur, the primary reason for kituma, is to damage the heat. The reason, the reminder principle is secondary. Okay? This is a secondary concept, which is icing on the cake, but it's not the ikar. The first thing you have to do is damage the heating element, the intensity of the heat. Liyeser se'es, as a secondary advantage, cover the knobs, and that's why some of the blocks they fold over. You cover the knobs. If the one doesn't go over, you take off the knobs. This is definitely a chumrah, it's an advantage, and many people do. They want to get into the halacha, they want to add a secondary chumrah to the definition of ketumah, a reminder, and the primary reminder would be to cover the knobs. And that means if you have a hot plate, cover the knobs. You have a crock pot, cover the knobs. You have a range, cover the knobs, because that's where the reminder will be fulfilled. But that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to diminish the intensity of the heat. It's a secondary chumrah to also, in addition, once you've got the base covered, you also want to go a second level. Okay, it's a very nice thing to go and cover the knobs. That it is an enhancement. Okay, now let's go to another thing. Now, all of this that you have to cover, we're concerned with all of these issues, is only where the food is not fully cooked. Now, technically, if you have a cholent that's fully cooked, it's finished, it's done. Shabbos is here, and the food is fully ready. You can eat the cholent right now. It's ready to go. And you keep keeping it on the range, you need a lot of water, right? A lot of water, so it's going to be a little now soupy, a lot of soup because you can wait until tomorrow morning. But it's fully boiled. Everything is ready to go. Everything is ready. Okay, I ate a ton of water because I got to wait until tomorrow, 12 o'clock, to eat it. But I can eat it right now. It's fine. It's fully cooked. I don't need a blech. Technically speaking, according to the letter of the law, you can put your chol and powder in open fire. You don't need a blech. Nothing. Because it's already fully cooked. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though you don't need a blech, you should have a blech anyway, because I don't remember the exact reasons. It's not right. Rabbi Reisman, he always says a story that he went to one with his wife somewhere. And Reisman is a Pesach, you know, he knows his stuff inside out. He doesn't need my haskama. But he says that he went somewhere with his wife, and they had all the food prepared and was fully cooked, and his wife says to him Erev Shabbos, Oh no, I forgot to bring a blech. I don't have a blech. What are we going to do? There's no blech. So Ryzen says, is the food fully cooked? You already heated it up? Yeah, it's already heated. Yeah. What's the only problem? Only problem is, I don't have a blech. So he says, so you don't have a blech. You don't need a blech. You can put the cholent on the range without a blech. It's fine. So he says to him, you don't know anything. What kind of rabbi? What kind of a religious person are you? What kind of? Wait, you don't know the Aleph Beis? What kind of a religious Jew are you? You need a blech. Where have you been? Well, he's telling her, Me'ikar Hadin, if it's fully cooked, you don't need a blech. Anyway, we're machmir, we have a blech. Now, there is another reason why you really do need a blech. And that is, okay, this is a whole different topic, we're out of time already, but that is, if you want to return it to the fire. If you, Erev Shabbos, have a chol that's fully cooked, and it's heated up all the way, it's boiling, and now it's Shabbos morning, and you want to take the chol off the range and take something out and then put it back on the range, you're not allowed to put a pot of fully cooked food that's boiling hot on an open fire once you take it off the fire, unless the fire is covered. Or like we said, it's diminished, it's ketumah. Why? For an entirely different reason. Marisayin. It's called mechzei kimavashal. Mechzei kimavashal is a...
Afterwards, now?
Yes, you're saying a very good question. Let's say there is no blech, and you put a blech now in order to put it on. You know, so I don't remember. My heart tells me that it's mutter. For some reason, I remember the shiloh. I vaguely remember this, and the answer is yes, you're allowed to. But I don't want to tell you for sure because I don't remember exactly. I have to look this up. Please remind me to tell you the answer to that. But I think you are allowed to, but you have to be careful about this. But generally, yeah. That's how I vaguely remember it. You're allowed to put the blech on now. But you're not allowed to put, after you take it off, you're not allowed to put it back on unless it's covered. Why? Because it's a chelik of maris ayin. Mechzei kimavashel. It looks like you're cooking. Now, by the way, to take a pot off an open fire and to put it back on is very complicated. You have to have five conditions. Okay, five conditions. One of them is very hard to meet. Condition number one is it has to be fully cooked. Okay, that's easy. It's fully cooked. Number two, we just said it has to be covered. The fire has to be covered, so it should not be a violation of mechzei kimavashel. Condition number three is you have to have this in mind. When you take it off the fire, your intent is I'm putting it back. Number four.
Can't put it there.
No, that's number five. What's number four? I'm forgetting number four. The five conditions have to be met. Give me one moment.
Sorry.
It has to be still hot. It has to be hot. It has to still be hot. That's it. Has to still be burning hot. It has. That's number four. Number four is it must be still bubbling hot. More than Yatz Ledespo. Number five is the real hard one to fulfill. This is a real. This is really. This is really it. You have to still. You're not allowed to put it down on the counter. Let's review. Number one, fully cooked. Number two, it has to be still be burning hot. Fully cooked is not enough. It has to be Yatz Ledespo. Number three, the fire has to be covered. Has to be covered. Number four, you have to have had this in mind. This was my plan. I'm going to take it off and put it back. Number five, we're going to discuss now. You're not allowed to put it down on the counter. That's hard. You have a big pot that... So now the question is, so why bother taking it off? Heshi, your internet is very weak. We have this problem very often. Heshi, if you hear me, your internet is very, very weak. We can't hear what you're saying. We can't hear what you're saying, Heshi. Your internet is very weak. Okay, let me say this. So why bother taking off the... So, Let me explain. Hold on for 1 second. Let me explain. So why bother taking it off the fire altogether? So just leave it on the fire. There's another prohibition called Magus. This is a halacha that comes from the Kolboy. Kolboy was a Rishon. The Mishnah Berura quotes the Kolboy to say there over and over. And the Mishnah Berura here writes, I do not understand the logic of the Kolboy. It's very rare for the Mishnah Berura to say such a thing. But he explicitly says, I do not understand what he's saying. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. The Kolboy says, you are forbidden to stir food that is upon a fire, even on a blech. If you have a pot that's on a fire or a heating element, even if there's a blech, it is forbidden to put a ladle inside of that pot and to stir it. Why? It's not so clear why. The Mishnah Berurah himself says, I don't understand why. It doesn't make any sense. Once the food is fully cooked, ein bishul achar bishul. The fire is covered, you're not going to do anything. Why should it be forbidden to insert a ladle into a chicken soup and scoop out the chicken soup when the chicken soup is over an open fire? Why? The Mishnah Berurah says, I do not know the reason, but it doesn't matter. That's the halacha. So if you have chalent or chicken soup, and you want to take a ladle and take out from while you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to. You have to remove it. How do you remove it? So what are you going to do? You're going to take it off the range and you're going to hold it? That's not going to work. How are you going to hold a 50-pound pot of chalent in one hand and take the ladle with the other hand? That's not going to work. So what do you do? Okay, you have two people that's right. You have two people that can help you. So I want to put it on the counter. So most people, that's the way it goes. They take the pot off the fire, and that's the end. It's over. It ain't going back. It's not going back on the range. Once you take the pot off the range, the chalent is over. There's not going to be hot chalent for shalashos. That's just the way it goes in most people's homes. But some people want chalent for shalashos. They want hot chalent. So then what do you do? What is one to do? You can't stir it when it's on the open fire, and you can't put it down on the counter. So there are heterim, Baruch Hashem. There are heterim in life for a lot of things. One of the heterim, Rav Moshe seems to say, as Moshe says, you can put it on the counter, but don't let go. You put it down on the counter, and you hold the handle. Hold the handle. Take it off the 50-pound pot of chalent. You pick it up, you put it down on the counter, and you just hold it on the counter. You then take a ladle, you scoop, and you put it into the bowls. You scoop into the bowls. Do all you want to do. Don't let go for 1 second. And then when you finish, assuming it's still hot, it has to still be burning hot. Yeah, if it cools down, then you can't put it back. And yet all the other conditions, it's fully cooked, you have kavana, and it's hot, and there's a blech, you pick it up and you put it back. And some people do that. Some people, they're happy with that solution. Other people are not happy with that because the Pasha says you can't put this. What do they do? There's a solution that's in the middle, which works for some talented people, but watch out, as I always say, 100 Asharas here. Safety first. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Safety first. Some people have a middle ground solution. They put it on the counter, on the edge of the counter. Watch out. Don't blame me for any accidents here. On the edge of the counter, and they hold on the edge of the counter, and they hold the handle, but they hold the handle in a way, it's resting. Resting, no big deal. But if you let go of the handle, where is the chalent going to go? On the floor. So it's resting. I'm not holding it in midair. I can't hold a 50-pound pot of chalent in midair for more than 10 seconds. So it's resting. And I'm fine with it. I can hold like that for half an hour. No sweat off my back to do that. But it's resting in such a way that if I let go of the handle, bang, it all goes on the floor. So you balance it. You balance it on the edge of the counter in a way where you must remain holding onto the ladle, onto the handle. And then you do whatever you want. And when you finish, you put it back. You put it back. So these are the solutions. You have to have these five conditions. And one of the conditions, this last condition is to put it on the counter and let go, you're done. If you put it on the counter and you don't let go, of Moshe is makel, it's permitted. Those that are machmir in the middle, put it on the counter, on the edge, and they hold on to the handle in a way that if you let go, it will fall on the floor, and that will permit you to put it back later. Okay, now there's more to this mishnah. We'll continue probably next week a little more. I don't want to spend forever on this, but tomorrow we want to learn about Shavas Asar B'Teves and about Nittel. So we're going to have to continue with saving a burnt chalent and the techniques of how you save a burning chalent and other inyanim related to the food preparation, and maybe some other inyanim for next week in Yeretz Hashem. Everybody have a wonderful week, a wonderful day. Enjoy your day, and all the best to all of you. Zay gesund. Yeah.
Friday, all day I'm baking challahs, and the oven is hot, but I shut the flame off. I shut off the fire from the oven, and I want to keep my soup warm. Is it hot manna if I wrap up the soup and put it in, wrap it up completely and put it in? There's no active fire.
No, it's mutter. That's permitted. That's permitted. Permitted. If there's no active fire, it's permitted. Permitted. It's only forbidden if there is new heat being generated. New heat. If there's old heat, residual heat.
Have a wonderful day,
from a previous permitted. It has to be new heat being generated on Shabbos for the Hatmana to be awesome.
I remember learning something that because the heating trays, people say that it gets very, very hot, these heating trays, and that technically it could cook
food. Which heating tray? Cooking. Which heat? What are you referring to? What a hot plate?
The hot plate.
Yeah, so a hot plate is like an oven. Many hot plates can cook.
But I'm going to say that's one thing you can never have in mind, that you want it to continue cooking on the hot plate. Then that's what I said, the head of using the hot plate was that you could put the food on the hot plate and just let it be. But you can't say that, oh, I want to finish cooking on the hot plate. Once you do that, then it loses the status of like the blech.
Correct. So you need a blech.
But people do not use a blech. On the hot plate.
Because they hold the hot plate is the blech. The reason why they don't use the blech, those who do not use the blech on a hot plate hold that the hot plate itself is a blech. Because the coils are buried underneath.
You explained it many times today. What I'm saying is that you can't have in mind at all that the food will continue to cook on the hot plate. Once you have that in mind, it loses the status of a plach or something. Do you have anything like that?
I don't understand. A hot plate is no different than an open fire. A hot plate cannot be worse than an open fire. Most, I think what you're saying is many people that use a hot plate only to warm food. They use a hot plate just to keep food warm. So once you view a hot plate as a warmer,
you want the hot plate to cook the food.
Then it becomes a regular oven, a regular range.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it has all the rules, all the rules of a range.
To finish cooking the food.
So the food is not fully cooked.
Told, or I read somewhere, I'm not sure.
If the food is not fully cooked, you're not allowed to return the food to the fire. In any case, if you have,
yeah, but I'm saying, but Erev Shabbos, you clean the food onto the hot plate back before Shabbos,
and the food is not fully cooked.
If the food is not finished cooking,
right?
Then you can't have it in mind that I want the hot plate to cook the food. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure I understand. I think what you mean to say is like this. If you have food that's fully cooked, and you want to keep it warm over Shabbos on a hot plate, so then you can say, I don't need a blech. I don't need a blech. There's no need. There's a very big controversy. Does a hot plate need a blech? Let's say you take the opinion that it does. Let's say you want to be machmir and hold that a hot plate must have a blech. Yeah, it needs a blech if the food is not fully cooked. But if I have food that's fully cooked, and I'm using the hot plate just to keep the food warm for Shabbos morning, then I don't need a blech. I don't need a blech. Then I can be megal. You also have a hot plate that you know that if you're going to put, you put an aluminum foil on the hot plate, you're going to damage the hot plate. Some of them, they're very delicate. If you go and you start playing around with the hot plate, put aluminum foil on the hot plate, you're gonna break it. So I don't want to go and use any type of blech, any aluminum foil. I want to just put the food on the hot plate itself. But the problem is catch-22. But many players can say that this is an open fire. This is the way it's normally used. You're not allowed to do that. Well, wait a minute. You're only not allowed to do that if the food is not fully cooked. But if the food is fully cooked, then you're permitted to put food on an open fire before Shabbos. So if you have food, you're saying, sometimes food is somewhere in between. Some people consider it to be fully cooked, some people do not consider it to be fully cooked. Certain types of food, they have different sensitivities. Some people, they like it raw. They like it like rare. Some people like it, they like it like this, like it like that. And many times the determination if a food is considered fully cooked depends upon your desires. If this is the way you want the food, so it's called fully cooked. So if you're going to take you have a hot plate, and let's say you and there's no blech, you don't have a blech, and you don't want a blech because you don't want to ruin it, but you're concerned for the shaila that you're going to cook food. You're not allowed to cook food that's not fully cooked on open flame on Shabbos. And then you have food in front of you that for some people it would be considered cooked, and for some people it's not yet fully cooked. So for the people that it's not fully cooked, they would not be allowed to put this on the hot plate because there's no blech. But since you consider it to be fully cooked, it's cooked, you can put it on the hot plate. So you should not have a kavan in your mind that, I want it to be more cooked. You have to say to yourself, I'm happy the way the food is. As far as I'm concerned, the food is fully cooked. So if it's fully cooked, I don't need a blech. But if you're going to say to yourself, no, the food is not really fully cooked, I want it to cook more, then you're entering into a shaila. Does a hot plate need a blech or does it not need a blech? Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yes, 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 it does. Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay. Have a good day.
Have a good day, everyone. Everybody have a good day. Take care, Dr. Freeman. Norman Forrest, how are you? What's doing up there in Montreal? What's the weather? How's the weather in Montreal? Any snow up there? Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm going to sign off. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Be well. Zay gesund. Zay gesund. Baruch Hashem, how are you doing?